My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, some years ago, living close to a busy military airport and acutely aware of the thundering noise of those Mirage F-14 fighters taking off and coming in for landing, our son, then only 2 or 3 years old, walked into my study and very matter-of-factly asked me, "Dad, could you please buy me one of those?" Now, I was immensely proud of him to think that he expected something like that of me. He was not certain what he was asking for, but it illustrated something to me. Here was my son looking up to me, trusting his father, a church mouse at the time, riddled with study debts, to buy him a fighter jet. Why? Because he thought big of his father. If only he knew. In his eyes, his father could do it. Because where else would he go and ask for an airplane? What do we know about the power of God? Do we trust Him like children should trust their earthly fathers? Or have we forgotten about the wonderful relationship that we have with God in Christ Jesus? We might think of God as an abstract form of energy, as people would do these days. Somewhere far up in heaven, or even as some people might think, as we've heard it, deep within me. God is just within me. God is me, and I am God. Another example. I was a recruit in the army. They handed out our kits containing uniforms and other bits of clothing, and as usual, nothing fitted. There's a saying of the army that if it fits, it's the wrong number. So I was sent to the quartermaster's shed. I walked in and the sergeant, as any sergeant would do, yelled at me, "What is it you want? There's nothing you need to be a good soldier that you wouldn't find in here." I did find another uniform, but it taught me something else. There's nothing we need to be a soldier of Christ that we cannot find in the storehouse of God, our heavenly quartermaster. Why? Because God is powerful. More than that, He is all powerful. He is almighty. He created the universe by His power. He spoke a word and it was there. Why? Because He wanted to. How it came about? He could do it because He's God. And this is the God you and I might worship and know through Jesus Christ. Personally, by faith, we know Him. We may live in a relationship with Him, and He provides for what is needed every day so we can live to His glory. The power of God is inseparable from His sovereignty, His knowledge, His unchangeableness, His grace and His mercy and His love, as well as all the attributes and the virtues that are in Him. But even the truth that God has a will or good pleasure is meaningless unless He has the power to execute His will. Now, when we talk about all-powerful, the other word for that, and is if I can teach the children one of those heavy words. So you can walk out here today and you can say, "I know something." Omnipotence. You got that? Omnipotence. What does that mean? What is omnipotence? Now, it's two words in Greek stuck together to form one. which is omni, which means all. And the other word, potent, which means powerful. So God is omnipotent, so he is all powerful. When we speak of God's power and strength, God's creative majesty and wonder, we are speaking about his omnipotence, the ability of God to do what God wants to do. Now, a question. Now, maybe the children would like to listen very carefully too, because it's not an easy question, and I'm not going to give you the answer straight away. Question. Can God make a rock so big that even God cannot move it? If he is all-powerful, then you would like to think that it's possible. Or, can God make triangles that are round? Or, can God make circles that have four equal sides that at 90 degree angles to each other? Another question. If God can do everything, can he kill himself? Think about that for a moment, because they're tricky questions. If you would like to answer yes, God can make such a big rock, then you're going to have to explain why God's inability to move that rock doesn't mean that he is not omnipotent. If, on the other hand, you're going to say, no, God can't make a rock so big that even he can't move it, then again you're forced to explain why God's inability to make such a rock doesn't mean he is omnipotent, because he can't. Have I got you confused? Yeah. Well, that was the whole idea. Because as we will see, this it's a silly question. And a silly question demands a silly answer. We praise God that is all-loving, all-forgiving, all-accepting. But these wonderful and important characteristics of God's nature don't make God God. We have to understand this. God is not God because he can do things. God is God because he is God. God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, that is what you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent you. Now the expression I am is necessary for us to know that God is not someone who can be. We can be. We can be there tomorrow. We can't be there tomorrow, maybe. But with God, it is impossible. God is. And when we say that, we say he's eternal. He lives outside of this creation. He created everything. Therefore, he must be above time. He must be above space. God simply cannot be. Non-existence is not an option for God. And it isn't due to any lack of God's ability or power or due to, but it's due entirely to what it means for God to be God. And therefore, God cannot kill himself. That's only things that happen in this side of where God lives. God is. That's it. I believe in God because he is, not because he does, not because he will be or he has been. He is. God is not part of this universe. He created it, but he stands above it. He created order and does not work contrary to contradictory nonsense to what he has created in order. And therefore, the question about the big stone and the question about triangular circles are stupid questions. God does not work that way. We might be stupid and dumb to try to do that, as people might do to now try to give us a new definition of marriage. I learned that a group of people got together and they got some grant of some the agency from the American government, and they sat for quite a long time and spent hundreds and thousands of dollars, and you know what they came up with? They came to the conclusion there is a difference between male and female. Now, how stupid can you be? You don't ask stupid questions to God, because God is. And you bow down. You bow down before Him who is. God does not do everything He could, because if He doesn't do it, doesn't also mean that He's not omnipotent. Omnipotence does not place an obligation upon God to do all things He can. Rather, it establishes the opportunity for God to be free to allow us to be part of this creation and be given dominion under God over what He has created. He has not created everything. He's created the, but He has also given us that dominion. And He said, well, you take with what I have given you and work with it. You have dominion over it and work with it. When I tried to be the instructor when my son was preparing for his driver's license, I stressed it to him. It is a sign of control if you have a powerful car, go slow. It is a sign of losing control when you speed or try to speed with a slow car. I can spin the wheels if I want, but why should I? It was not what it was designed for. And if I did, I would only be showing off. God is not showing off. He controls it. And by not doing everything that He can, He shows that He is in control. Omnipotence teaches us that no power in the entire universe can stop God or impede His plans. No evil man, no natural catastrophe, no reversal of fortune, no fate or luck, so-called, or chance, and no human error can stop God. Now, how do we know that God is omnipotent? First of all, God reveals Himself in certain names. One of the ways in which God reveals to us that He is almighty is by giving Himself names so that we know who He is. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 17 talks about the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Moses admonished the people and stirred them on to fear of the Lord. And he said, the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He is God of God and Lord of lords. We read about it this morning in Ephesians, how He put Jesus Christ, He took Him out of the grave, raised Him from the dead, and He put Him at His right hand side, and there He made Him to be ruler and king over all the rulers of the world, and He gave Him a name and a title that is above all titles. And if you can think of something today that might describe mighty powers and all these things, go and read it again. It says, all things that we know about now and we will be knowing. Christ is above all these things. We read about God Almighty. Isaiah sees a vision of God and he declares in chapter 37, verse 16, O Lord, Almighty God of Israel, is enthroned between the cherubim. You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. Why? You made the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, we read, When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. God speaks to the 99-year-old Abraham who has been promised a child by God. By this time, we read in Romans chapter 4, his body was as good as dead. In the face of all this very understandable doubts, God reassures him by calling himself Almighty God. It was God's way of saying, Don't look in the mirror, Abraham. Look at me. If I say you're going to have a son, it's going to happen. Age means nothing to me. I am Almighty God. He is the only sovereign God. So when Abraham understood this, he looked at God and he said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. God did not even answer that. He took him outside and he said, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up into the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. What did Abraham do? He believed God. Why? He believed God is. He's the Lord of hosts. God revealed himself to his people and said, Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings you out of the starry host one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength? Not one of them is missing. So when you once again look into the skies, children, when you go out one night, you look into the skies, how many stars are there? We don't know. You know when? God has counted them. He made them. You think about it when you go into space, millions of kilometers away. You have not seen much. You might think that something is lost in space. No. God counted each one of them. This is the God we worship. We also know God through His creative power. And where's the time going? We need to keep an eye on the clock too. His creative power. This is what Job discovered at the end of his trials. You might find God as he reveals himself. Job never discovered the truth about the conversation between God and Satan that started all his troubles. And if you took it at face value, it ends with God interrogating Job in the most humbling fashion. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? If I were Job, I'd say, well, I was not there. Were you there when I put the stars in their places? No. Well, then, Job, you haven't got a word to say. Because I am. God gives us in His providence everything we need. God and the creature differed radically on the matter of being. God has being in Himself while we live and move and have our being in God. Thus, having created all things by His power, God continues to uphold or preserve His creatures by the word of His power. God never runs out, like we are now seemingly running out of petrol and oil. God's power knows no limits. He is never worn out. He is never tired or exhausted. He is God. It is no harder for Him to create a universe than to create an ant. And then say to that ant, "Don't worry, I'll care for you." Isn't that amazing? God governs this world. Nothing happens by fate or chance, but all things by the hand of God. And those who think that some things might not be in the power of God, and that only God's power might be limited, I ask this question. If God is not in control of everything, and He's only in control of some things, explain who is in control of the other things. No, God is in control of everything. That gives us great comfort when we understand that God is omnipotent. He is in control. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His promises. My dear brothers and sisters, we have only scratched the surface on this marvelous topic of the power of God. But let us close with this thought. When we know ourselves to be weak, incapable, unworthy, then we are strong in the Lord. Then we are enabled by God to do things who strengthen us, even if we think we cannot. God is all-powerful. And God takes the glory for Himself. But let us heed the words of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 11. And here I believe, and the NIV has it wrong with its translation. You go to the King James Version, and even the New King James Version translates it, I think, correctly. And it reads like this: "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and know that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." NIV translates, they must believe that God exists. Now that to me, the devil believes that God exists too. But it's the way we believe in God. It is the way that He is. He's yesterday, today, tomorrow, and all eternity the same powerful God. And we worship Him. And therefore my word this morning is, my exhortation in the name of the Lord is, believe that He is. Because He is Almighty God. Worship Him and live to His glory. Amen. Our Lord and our Father, we've got nothing to say.
Like Job, we just want to be silent before you and acknowledge your greatness. Father, forgive us when we think that we can stand up against you. And forgive us when we do not think about you as the one who is. Amen.